with Jesus.
Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Peter did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So in today's gospel, we see Jesus glorious, more glorious than many things the disciples have ever seen before. And they are just so amazed, they don't quite know what to say. So I was wondering if you've ever had an experience of seeing something so glorious or so incredible that it left you speechless or maybe thoughtless for a moment or two. Have you ever seen anything glorious or incredible like that? Yes? What was it?
Very simple, but when we lived in Toledo, our planted garden, and no metal around, but my grandson said he always wanted to get fixed it, yeah. But anyway, he made this thing, planted it in the back of sticks, and all of a sudden, this light shone. I took a picture of it, and this light shone right in the middle of it. It was astounding.
So Michael in the garden in Toledo made a wooden sculpture that had a light shine on it just from sticks. Yeah, cross out of sticks, and all of a sudden there was light shining on it. Other things like that? That you might, or perhaps different experiences?
Just the beauty of nature.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the beauty of nature.
Sunsets.
Key West sunsets. Oh, Niagara Falls frozen over. That would be interesting. Yeah.
Seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time.
That is impressive. Yeah. Sunrise in the Rocky Mountains. Yeah. I think sometimes, like new babies, you know, or a beautiful smile on someone's face, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's interesting to think about what we see that is so incredible, or what we have experienced that is so stupendous that it makes us stop and just stop for a minute or two. And that's what happens to the disciples today. But when they get up that morning, they have no idea what the day is going to bring. They go up the mountain with Jesus. They may have wondered why they were climbing up the top of the mountain, just, you know, because, or what they were up to. But when they get to the top of the mountain, surprise, there is Jesus in his full glory. And they get this glimpse of who Jesus is. As Jesus shines with light, as his clothes are dazzling white, and it is a sight of such overwhelming beauty, overwhelming power and glory, that the disciples can only sit there with their mouths open. It's the most incredible thing they've ever seen. And they must think, wow, this is it, right? This is why we've been hanging out with Jesus for the previous 8 chapters of Mark. This is it. This is the conclusion. This is the end of how things are going to be. The disciples probably think this is the purpose of Jesus' life, to be transfigured before them, that this is God's plan. In Mark's gospel, Jesus right along has been talking about being glorified. And here he is, glorified. It is incredible. You can't get much more glorious than this, than shining with light and having your clothes be dazzling and having Moses and Elijah on either side of you having a private conversation with you. You know, this is the pinnacle of everything. And Peter says, you know, well, let's just stay here. This is great, right? Let's make little booths and let's make little altars and we'll just stay here and worship. Everything is going to be great. And this must have been a tempting thought for Jesus, just to stay on the mountain and just to kind of say, yeah, we're here. We're good. We're just going to be here. Because if you think of what's going to happen next or later, you know, you've got glory on the mountain versus glory on the cross. You've got the glory of transfiguration to be like God. You've got the glory of death to be fully human. And I don't know about you, but the glory of the mountain, the glory of transfiguration, that would be pretty appealing to stay there. And it must have been tempting for Jesus, but he refuses to take the easy way out and goes back down the mountain, down into real life. The real life of dust and dirt, where your clothes are not always dazzling white. Down into real life of human pain and illness, of misunderstandings, of betrayals, and even of death itself. Because that is what real life is. And that's where Jesus is needed. And that's where ministry is going to happen, is in the realness of life. And in that real life, there we see Jesus' true glory. It's on the cross that Jesus is truly glorified, that he reveals his true purpose, his true plan, is not to stay on this mountain and be beautifully and gorgeous and untouchable, but Jesus comes into the world to die. And sometimes as we work our way into Lent, as we begin that journey, it's hard for us to comprehend or to accept this choice. Because sometimes I think we, like Peter, want to say, you know, don't go there. Don't go there, Jesus. You don't have to die. It's almost like when you're watching a TV show, right? And there's like a murder mystery kind of a thing, and the person is going into the dark parking garage, and you know, right, that something bad is going to happen, and you say to the person on the screen, don't go there, you know, go back to the office, don't go to the parking garage. It's almost like that. We just want to say to Jesus, don't do that. Just stop. Stop. Stay here. Because we know all too clearly what life is like off the mountain. We know the pain and we know the troubles. We know that glory is all too scarce. And we know that when we have it, we want to cling to that, cling to those memories of glorious times, of wonderful things. And so Jesus leaves behind all that and comes down the mountain. And that's good news for us. That's good news for us. Because it means that when Jesus comes down off the mountain, that he enters into our world again. And he goes on this journey that will lead to the cross and to the resurrection. And that changes how we live in this world. Because, yeah, the world is full of pain and suffering and troubles. We know that. We know that all too well. And yet, the reason why Jesus comes and dies for us is to redeem the world, to show us that even in the worst circumstances, that forgiveness is real and forgiveness is possible, to show us that love triumphs over the troubles of this world and over the pain and suffering of this world, and to show us that death is not the end of all things, but rather life in Jesus, life in God, is at the end of everything. That is what awaits us. That is what our future hope is. And knowing those things, Knowing those things changes how we live in the here and now, that we can look at this world and look at the suffering and trouble and say, yeah, this is hard. This is not easy. This is difficult. But knowing even as we say that, that we have God on our side, that God is working with us, and there are other people, that we are not alone in this struggle, that together we can be voices of love and peace and unity and forgiveness and acceptance, that working together we can proclaim God's message of love to a world that needs to hear it. Because think what a change it could be in the world if everyone knew that they were beloved, that God was on their side, that they were not alone. That message could change and does change people's lives. And we are the ones who have the privilege of sharing that message with others. And so it's good this day that Jesus comes down off the mountain into real life, and that Jesus goes to the cross and dies there for us to give us the gift of hope, the gift of resurrection, the gift of new life, the gift of all these things that are ours as Christians. Amen.